And with more on today's breaking news, we're joined by our hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. Pierre, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure that you've been busy and you've been on your phone, but you know this has to be ratified. But in the end, this is a very good day for hockey.
Yeah, no, it's listen, I've been covering the NHL for 25 years, and I've never reported on a peacetime CBA. So
That says something, doesn't it, right?
Like, but again, it has to be ratified, and let's give the players their voice. I mean, you hear grumbling from some players. Is it going to be enough? I don't think so. I think it's going to pass, but, you know, one step at a time. The players' executive board, which is made up of the 31 player reps, as you guys know, they started a call at 5:15 p.m. Eastern time, and it sounds like it's going to be a long call as they go over the entire return to play and CBA tonight. And then they decide in their own internal vote if it's a green light to then pass this on, the whole package, to the entire player membership. And that vote can take up to 72 hours. So if it's a yes vote by the end of the week, then there's a new CBA, assuming, of course, the Board of Governors doesn't vote it down, which I highly doubt. They tend to, Gary Bettman tends to have a feel for his owners before presenting these types of big documents in front of them. So we'll see how the players react, but I suspect that this should be ratified by the end of the week.
Pierre, you've been on this story throughout, and I know there were stages during my career when it could be argued that the executive board wasn't representative of the player group as a whole. Do you have a feel for that, whether this executive board, if they were to put the positive stamp on it, is pretty representative of the league as a whole? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, I mean, I think to go back to the origins of all this, Cooley, people forget the both sides have actually done a lot of groundwork on a CBA extension last summer. And I think it just got lost in the headlines because it wasn't the same kind of urgency. But because there was that window last September for each side to decide whether they wanted to opt out of the CBA this September, two sides had actually done, I think, more groundwork than people realize. Now, the pandemic provided a whole new scope to this, right? And the kind of urgency where they know that they can't have a labor situation in 2 years after struggling to get through the economic damage, and there will be damage from the pandemic. So I think with that in mind, both in the return to play and in the CBA extension that's on the table now, there's been a level of collaboration between the PA and the league that I have never seen in my entire career. And I think it comes from, frankly, from fear and from recognizing that now is not the time to sabotage each other with so much on the line. And it's certainly not what we saw in baseball, but it's what we saw in hockey. So, again, we don't want to be careful here because the players have a big vote, both at the executive board level and also the players league-wide, and we'll see. Democracy will speak, but my gut feeling and anecdotally is that it will be a yes vote, and that's huge for this sport, which obviously lagged behind the other big three in the top four in North America, to have its house in order as it tries to navigate these completely unprecedented and uncharted waters here over the next couple of years.
TSN's hockey insider Pierre LeBrun joining us on Overdrive to discuss the big news this afternoon. It broke about 20 minutes ago. The NHLPA and NHL reached a tentative agreement on the return to play program, but also a CBA extension. From the player side, Pierre, how much have you heard from their side about trying to expand what HRR is?
Yeah, that's been a key part of the dialogue for sure, and that's why the return to the Olympics, I think, will be seen, and I should mention that even though we first reported that last week. I just got an email from a league source. Just, you never know, at the last minute, sometimes things can change from what we knew last week to this week, but in the proposed CBA that was today agreed on by both sides, pending ratification, Olympic participation for the next two Olympics is in there. And the PA sees that as a real important way. Okay, they're not going to make money off the Olympics, but in terms of the exposure of the sport and ways that they can grow NHL revenues off the momentum of those two Olympics and into bigger international, into other international events that are controlled by the PA and the league, whether it's World Cup or other events. I think the PA is pretty bullish on what the return of the Olympics will mean in that scope, mm-hmm. in terms of growing the sport and ultimately, whether directly or indirectly, growing revenues. But that's right. I mean, you could talk all day about reducing escrow for players, and obviously, you know, if I was a player, I'd want to pay 0% escrow. I'd want to get 100% of my paycheck. But part of that is not just trying to limit escrow, which the next couple of years it will be limited in the CBA agreement, but it's also just growing revenues. If you grow revenues, then 50-50 is an easier thing to do in terms of splitting the pie.
Pierre, in your mind, and once again talking to players and the agents, is escrow going to be the biggest conversation point amongst the players right now? Because in many ways, they're the reason for the escrow. They had the false inflator mm-hmm. for a number of years that got those free agents the big contracts that they got.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that I think there are items in return to play that are going to make some players think hard. I mean, don't forget that. I mean, I think there are players who just are going to feel unsafe about coming back to play. And don't forget that this agreement is return to play / CBA. You don't have one without the other.
Yeah.
And don't lose sight of that. That's a pretty big part of all this. So I you're asking me, Pooley, yeah, escrow is always in the crosshairs for a lot of players. But in the here and now, I would say probably just as much of a burning issue is perhaps some players who simply feel it's unsafe to come back and play. Again, I think that the majority of players are going to sign off on returning to play, but I still think there's you know, a group of players that are not going to feel right about it. Some of them will vote no because of it, and others will exercise their right to opt out of the tournament, which is part of this agreement as well.
But the timing of the opt-out is tomorrow night at 5:00.
Yeah.
And that doesn't coincide mm-hmm. coincide with the ratification of the deal.
Well, yeah, but I think you could probably, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just going to go on the side of logic here, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. And I would think that if you're a player that signified you were going to opt out, if it's a yes vote. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you could probably, logic would dictate that people understand what you mean here.
Well, there'd be no hockey if there's right, no ratification.
Right.
You wouldn't have to opt out.
Exactly.
And Pierre, we've been privy to some of the details in terms of the return to play. And if you haven't seen it, go to TSN.ca. Frank Saravalli has really done a good job with all of those points. And you know, it's interesting, the number who are in the bubble, and each team will be permitted to bring a maximum of 52 individuals. How much was that a sticking point in terms of the negotiation and how many people that teams were able to get into this hub?
I think it's a bigger deal for the teams than it is for the players right now. And I apologize if you hear sizzling. I'm trying to navigate barbecuing for the kids here while I'm talking to you.
That's, nice. That's why you're the best, Pierre.
Nice.
I don't know too many hockey insiders that can do that. So I like it medium rare usually. So just in case.
Well, today
your hot dog medium rare.
Yeah, it's sausages today here at the lake. No, I think I've heard more grief from teams about the limit of people in the bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think teams are. I talked to a GM today who says, "Man, like it's leading to difficult decisions. People that he feels are quite important in the organization that he may not bring along to the hubs because of all the other people that clearly have to be there." And so I would tell you that it's less on the player side and more on the team side in terms of, you know, not quite understanding, you know, why certain people won't be able to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pierre, we'll let you get back to your barbecuing. We appreciate you jumping on here. It's big news today. Like I said, it's good news for hockey, for the NHL. The NHLPA, again, does need to be ratified, but, labor peace. We were talking about the legacy of Gary Bettman and whether it's fair or unfair. He's been called the lockout commissioner. this was a big part of this will be a big part of his resume if he's able to get this through this this week and during unprecedented times able to get an extension on the CBA.
Yeah, and honestly, if it is ratified by both sides and it's a yes vote, I mean, you really have to tip your cap to the amount of work that would need to be done to get a CBA extension in the last couple of months. It really is crazy. I mean, you know, I don't know quite how I feel about return to play, to be honest with you. We'll see. But in terms of getting a CBA done, that is, you know, again, if it's a yes vote, I think it's unbelievable to think that they started to get at this, you know, 6-7 weeks ago. It's really amazing.
Yeah, to think about, yeah, if a couple months ago, if we said we're going to get a new CBA or an extended CBA and the NHL is going back to the Olympics, I don't know how many people were believing that a couple months ago. So that's,
yeah,
this is great. It was great having you on the show. Get back to the barbecue. Don't burn it. And
I think I am burning it.
Okay. Get on that, buddy. We appreciate you coming on.
All right. See you guys.
There's our hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun.
You know, kids are so funny, Mark. They don't like marks on their hot dogs, right?
Right.
Like, so I developed a style where I cook them like vertically rather than horizontally across the grid. So that it would show less of the
like less veteran of the dad.
I had daughters instead of sons, and maybe sons would like grill marks on their hot dogs, but it was like they wanted a perfectly barbecued hot dog with no marks on it.
Right. Well, that's so, why kids like microwaved hot dogs is weird.
That's right. So maybe Pierre got distracted a little bit there when the sizzle was going on and said, I can't be putting marks on these sausages.
Well, it's going to be so funny that he's going to sit down to the table with his family or whoever he has over. And he plumps down the meat, and it's all charred. And they're like,
and he's going to blame you.
They're going to go,
clearly.
What happened? He's like, I'll tell you what happened. The NHL and the NHLPA have a tentative agreement and had to go on overdrive, okay?
And I'm going back to work.
And don't complain. Where's my suit?
I was going to say, it was the best reception he's had from the cottage. He might have been out in a canoe in the middle of the lake if he hadn't told us he was on the grill. So.
That's true. That's true. So, anyways, this is great news. And, yeah, that... The HRR and players trying, like you think of Seattle, you know, and the expansion, and that has always been, you know, a pot of money that goes to the owners. How do the players get their hands on that?
Yeah, and you know, it's always interesting to pour through a document after the fact and see what was a priority and what wasn't. And just as I think you and Andy, when you were talking about the Olympics, it wasn't that anyone thought we weren't going to the Olympics. They just didn't think it would ever be a question. We were going to the Olympics. Why would somebody stop that?
Mm-hmm.
And yet it was, you know, overlooked at a critical point, not put in a collective bargaining agreement, and all of a sudden Connor McDavid hasn't played in Olympics.
Yeah.
And, you know, and with none in the foreseeable future that he was going to play in. And so, you know, to see the best on best and have that ability, you know, is really, really good. And so just one of the bonuses of this collective bargaining agreement will be the fact that, you know, it looks like if it's all ratified, you know, in 2022, we'll see a best-on-best tournament.
Stability in hockey. We could be getting that in the middle of a pandemic. In terms of...
Used to be an oxymoron.
It did. It did. And then you think of baseball and how they've had such labor peace since the 94 strike. I don't know what's, you know, going to happen in a year and a half from now when their CBA comes up. But one thing we do know, they're trying to play a 60-game season. They just released the schedule, or at least some details of it. The Blue Jays, two bits of bad news. Their strength of schedule is 567, one of the worst in baseball. And also that they'll be playing 7 of 10 games versus the Rays in Florida.